Love comes crazy like a horse on a bus. Cheap sonnets written for the pleasure of us. Don't care.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
The heart-shaped
diamond. This opening number, Horse on a Bus, is brought to us by Matt Douglas. We'll be hearing more about and from Matt Douglas later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions.
I am late for the dance. But if you take me as your passenger, we'll call it romance.
Our trivia questions today come to us from artspoint.net. Question number one. What singer is known as the Empress of the Blues? Is it A, Bessie Smith, B, Ma Rainey, C, Etta James, or D, Dinah Washington? Question number two. What game did Mozart like to play while he composed symphonies? Was it A, shuffleboard, B, chess, C, billiards, or D, rugby? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The Transitions article comes to us from the News and Observer, published on October 1, 2011, entitled Mother of Hip Hop Dies at 76. This is written by Jay Levin, Hackensack, New Jersey. Sylvia Robinson, a music executive who lit the fuse that ignited the popularity of hip-hop, died Thursday morning in New Jersey. She was 76. The cause was congestive heart failure, said her publicist, Greg Walker. Robinson and her husband, Joseph Robinson Sr., founded Sugar Hill Records in Englewood, New Jersey in the 1970s. It was Sylvia Robinson, half of the 1950s rhythm and blues duo Mickey and Sylvia, who became intrigued by the rapping she heard in June 1979 at a party at a Manhattan club. In a Vanity Fair interview 6 years ago, she recalled how the DJ tossed in his own catchphrases and rhymes while spinning R&B tunes. The crowd went wild. I saw him talking to the kids and saw how they'd answer back, she said. Back in Englewood, she discovered three young men who called themselves Wonder Mike, Big Bank Hank, and Master G, and tasked them with improvising over a rhythm track. Robinson christened them the Sugar Hill Gang. Their 1979 hit, Rapper's Delight, topped out at number 4 on the R&B charts and number 34 on the Billboard pop charts, and is regarded as the first commercially viable rap single. A family friend, Day Bennett, an Englewood-based recording executive and son of singer Tony Bennett, said Thursday that Mrs. Robinson and her husband, who died in 2000, were pretty much responsible for the whole aspect of the current music industry. Robinson's nickname, the Mother of Hip-Hop, reflected that influence. The regular sections of The Transition is brought to us by BGORecords.com and MusicOrb.com, Today in Music History. And today is the weekend of October 21 and 22. Now, if you were born on October 21, you share a birthday with Dizzy Gillespie, the jazz trumpeter. He was born on October 21, 1917. And also Alvin Bishop fooled around and fell in love. He was born on October 21, 1942. Or if you were born on October 22nd, you share a B-day with Franz Liszt, the composer, pianist, born in 1811 on October 22nd. Annette Funicello, also born on October 22nd, a little bit later, 1942. Deaths in music history this weekend include Bill Black. This was Elvis's bass player. He died in 1965 this weekend. And Tommy Edwards, It's All in the Game, 1969 he died. And Pablo Casals, 1973 died this weekend. And Ronnie Van Zant, Lynyrd Skynyrd, died in a plane crash this weekend back in 1977. Miscellany in music history this weekend. Well, back in 1950, you may remember, the first transatlantic radio telephone message from Arlington, Virginia to Paris. And back in 1957 this weekend, Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock hits number one as the movie premieres in the U.S. The Beach Boys hit the U.S. charts this weekend with Good Vibrations back in 1966. 3 years after that, 1969, Paul McCartney officially denies that he has died. And back in 1972, Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling hits number one. Back in 1985, George Harrison, Ringo Starr et al. Honor the career of Carl Perkins with a special show in London. And finally, back in 1988 this weekend, A Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins hits number one.
Do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what I say. What people tell us seem of anyone's dream.
Phil Collins. So, what do you know about today's featured artist, Matt Douglas? Well, we happen to have the father of this talented musician and singer in the studio with us today, Mr. George Douglas. Tell us, George, what role has music played in your family?
Well, Randy, music has always been a big part of the Douglas family. My wife, Megan, is not a professional musician, but she's an excellent cellist and has played with numerous volunteer orchestras in various places we've lived, including Budapest, Hungary, where we lived for a few years. I've always loved music myself, excuse me, and started my career in radio, but I've always been kind of a wannabe musician, and actually have taken lessons in classical guitar and double bass and mandolin and a few other instruments as well. But Matt started playing violin when he was, I think, around 5 years old, something like that, and he switched to saxophone as soon as his hands were big enough. He was around 7 or 8. So it's been a very musical family. Megan's sisters were musical. One of them has a master's degree in applied piano. A lot of music in our family.
Very interesting, George. And what specifically led to Matt's interest in a music career?
I think that Matt became interested in music as a career when he was in high school. He actually had a great private teacher and was really trained as a classical musician on the saxophone. And he was an excellent music reader from very early on in high school. And I think he decided at a pretty young age that he wanted to major in music and he wanted to go to a strong music college. He looked at quite a few of them, but he ended up going to NYU, New York University. He graduated in 2002. And after he graduated, he did have his degree in music. He concentrated in jazz. But 2 years later, he was awarded a Fulbright scholarship in Hungary, where he spent a year and a half, I think it was, right after college, living in Budapest.
Okay. And speaking of Hungary, let's take a listen to one of the tracks from Matt's first album, Budapest Proclivities, recorded back in 2005. Well, you can definitely see the jazz influence in that snippet. Oh, let me ask you this, George. When did you first realize that Matt was going to succeed in music?
Well, Randy, I think we felt pretty confident about it when he was still in high school and he was actually invited to join an adult jazz group in Washington, D.C. And we were living in Alexandria, Virginia at the time, and he was, I believe, nearing the end of his junior year. We were very surprised about that and very proud of him.
Well, one of the impressive characteristics of Matt's music is his versatility. The previous Snip at Men Junk, for example, demonstrated the jazz influence, but his other albums show a definite comfort level with pop music, as evidenced in the opening track to today's program, Horse on a Bus, with Carrie Catlin and the group Small Ponds, and also country music with such tunes as Gypsy Cards from his 2006 album, Predispositions that he recorded with the group, The Proclivities. By the way, here's an example of that particular influence.
A change in the weather makes the heart swing low. The leaves only turn.
That's Gypsy Cards. So, George, how would you classify his music?
You know, Randy, he's a little bit hard to pin down, I think. He's really interested in all kinds of music. He writes and performs a modern folk rock style of music, I would call it, and his CDs with the Proclivities and with the Small Ponds are basically in this category. He's also played on several albums with the Josh Ritter Band, who's become quite well known around the world, actually, in recent years, also with Aaron McEwen and several others. But more recently, Matt has become involved with a new jazz group called the Hot at Nights, and he's doing some, I think, some really interesting new original music. A couple years ago, he wrote a film score for a short movie about Coney Island for an ABC TV producer that he had gotten to know. And as a result of that, he also had a chance to write an original piece of music for a segment of ABC Television's Primetime Medical Mysteries. Now, his Small Pond CD was backed by a local record company, but other CDs have really all been self-published.
I see. Well, actually, let's take a listen to a snippet from his work with the group Small Ponds that he recorded just last year in 2010. And that is, by the way, Caitlin Carey. I mispronounced it as Carrie Caitlin, but that's Caitlin Carey. So let's take a listen then to this snippet from his work with the group Small Ponds.
Camouflage your lonely heart with crooked smiles. It's gonna take a while to go another mile. If distance doesn't cut it, then I'm closing in. But don't back away from him. The slightest touch of skin turns you on. Keep coming back to that everyday.
So tell me, George, what's on tap for Matt in 2012?
Well, he's a busy guy, and it's the kind of business, Randy, as you know, that things come up that you really can't anticipate. But I think he's trying to expand his teaching business. He has about 25 students right now. He teaches saxophone, clarinet, flute, and guitar as well.
He hopes to
expand that some more next year. And he also hopes to do more with the jazz group, the Hot at Nights, which I mentioned is relatively new. And he's going to continue to write music on his own and also along with Caitlin Carey of the Small Pond. So he hopes to have an even better year next year.
Well, he's going to be busy. Here then is an example of his most recent work with the group The Hottest Nights. This number, C is for Gaddafi, was recorded just this year. Finally, George, what advice would you give to parents of aspiring musicians?
That's a good question, Randy. I don't know. I would say that I would advise parents to support their children if they are truly interested in music and encourage them. I'd also, just from a practical standpoint, make sure that they really are truly committed and accomplished in high school before they go into college for a music degree, because most musicians start out pretty young in order to, you know, the ones that are really successful. I think all of the young musicians that I know, and because of Matt, I know quite a few of them, they have never considered doing anything else in their lives other than music. I think it's really fairly easy to know if a young person is really interested and really committed to the music field.
Well, thank you, George, for joining us today to talk
thank
about
you, Randy.
Matt Douglas's musical career. And I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about this rising star from Raleigh. In local music news, we see this article from the History Associates October 2011 newsletter, North Carolina Museum of History. This will be a grand event to mark the opening of the story of North Carolina, as well as celebrate North Carolina's rich history, says Ken Howard, director of the NC Museum of History in Raleigh. The Celebrate North Carolina History Festival on Saturday, November 5, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., kicks off the largest exhibit ever at the North Carolina Museum of History. The story of North Carolina highlights more than 14,000 years of the state's history. Part one of this permanent exhibit opened in April, and now the entire exhibit will be complete. Admission to the festival and the exhibit is free, and weekend parking is free. We're bringing in more than 80 presenters from across the state for the Celebrate North Carolina History Festival, notes Howard. With so much to see and do, the festival will overflow outside onto Bicentennial Plaza and adjacent streets. Award-winning musicians, storytellers, dance groups, authors, craftspersons, reenactors, and other presenters will capture the flavor and diversity of the Tar Heel State. There will be something for all ages. On Bicentennial Plaza, catch performances by the Tony Award-winning Red Clay Ramblers, the Chairman of the Board, Molasses Creek, Miss North Carolina Haley Best, blues guitarist Cool John Ferguson, the Apple Chill Cloggers, and many others. Adjoining streets will be lined with antique tractors and vehicles, including a 1929 Cheerwine truck with free Cheerwine samples while they last. Food vendors will abound, so grab lunch and stay all day. Many presentations will highlight North Carolina's cultural diversity. Some examples include African music and drumming performed by the Healing Force, Latin American dance and music presented by the Hispanic Arts Initiative, and American Indian tales shared by Lumbee storyteller Barbara Locklear. The article skips down and ends with this. For a complete schedule with performance and presentation times, go to ncmuseumofhistory.org/festival.org or call 919-807-7900. This next article is brought to us by the News and Observer on October 1, 2011, by Sarah Nagum, entitled There Is Nothing to Be Ashamed Of, Garner. Chris Hendricks had his guitar in hand and his walking cane on the floor as he shared a message with special needs students at East Garner Middle School. He encouraged them to embrace their disabilities rather than hide from them, to even find humor in their situation. There's nothing to be ashamed of, said Hendricks, who has cerebral palsy. There's nothing to be afraid of. Hendricks, 26, of Durham, performed at East Garner Middle earlier this month, and he returned last week to talk to students. He hopes to visit more local schools to share his passion for music and to urge kids to stop bullying each other, accept one another's differences, and be comfortable with who they are. Hendricks knows all too well what it's like to be picked on, Growing up, his classmates bullied him because of his disability. Cerebral palsy is a neurological disorder that affects movement, and the disease has left his limbs deformed. When I was younger, I was kind of ashamed of myself for a while, Hendricks told students on Thursday. I did everything I could to hide that part of me. But Hendricks made a change when he headed to Elon University. After several surgeries, doctors had wanted him to be in a wheelchair when he left home for college. He insisted on wearing leg braces instead, making his way around campus the best he could. At Elon, Hendricks found a love for exercise. He spent hours in the gym bulking up. But it wasn't just a physical change. Hendricks said he shifted the way he approached his disability. For starters, he talked about it. If I make some joke about how I have better parking than everybody else, then it's funny, Hendricks said. He had planned to become a physical therapist, but a new dream of a music career emerged when he picked up a guitar during his junior year of college. Over the years, Hendricks has performed in places such as New York and Nashville, and he formed the Chris Hendricks Band, which plays local gigs. Now, Hendricks said he wants to focus on performing at schools. In Garner, the school's 1,300 students were captivated by the band, school principal Kathy Williams said. They saw a video that showed Hendricks putting on his leg braces. My kids were absolutely silent watching him do this, Williams said. It was really a message about tolerance. Williams said that message is critical for middle schoolers, where bullying is common. And Hendricks brought hope to the special needs children, said Maria Blank, 31, whose son Victor, a sixth grader at East Garner Middle, has cerebral palsy. Victor is confined to a wheelchair, but he will have a bright future, Blank said. He's going to college. He'd better, she said. Hendricks said he wouldn't change his life even if he could, except for maybe one day to find out what it's like to run a marathon. Otherwise, he said he's happy with who he's become. It's really been an absolute gift for me. Today's jazz review comes to us from Owen Cordell, published in the News and Observer on the 25th of September, 2011. And it's a review of Dave Valentine's Pure Imagination CD. Dave Valentine started as a percussionist in school. A girl he wanted to meet showed him a scale on the flute. Within 3 weeks, he had learned Coming Home Baby from an album by flutist Herbie Mann. Valentine's flute style today goes back to that beginning, a percussive rhythmic emphasis, and like the late man, he has an ear for catchy grooves. Valentine is a New Yorker of Puerto Rican descent, and Pure Imagination, his latest album, has just been nominated for a Latin Grammy Award. The album is festive, rhythmically engaging, and tonally attractive. Valentine uses a variety of flute techniques, trills, flutter-tonguing, staccato attacks, breathy note-bending, percussive slapping of the keys, and humming and playing simultaneously to color his lines. In one passage, he may be a drummer, in another, a coolly alluring singer. Article skips down and ends with this. Valentine is scheduled to appear October 8th at the Temple Theater in Sanford with the Heart of Carolina Jazz Orchestra. Here's a snippet, then, from this new album. The title track, as a matter of fact, Dave Valentine, Pure Imagination. And our classical review comes to us today from Richard Baca of the Denver Post, and this is a review of Tori Amos, Night of Hunters. Will the casual Tori Amos fan find something to love in her latest Night of Hunters? Not likely, unless he or she is an experienced classical music aficionado. There's no slam on Amos, who has created her most skillful and perhaps most complex concept album to date. Night of Hunters is a modern work that is inspired by classical music going back to the days of Bach, Schubert, Mendelssohn, and others. Fans of Amos' easy-on-the-ears piano pop of the 90s will not find those memorable hooks and angsty lyrics here, but fans of her more recent work will find the dizzying narratives and familiar characters that have since become the singer-songwriter's preference. The playing is distinctively Amos, with towering pianos guiding the way. Her voice is as singular as it ever has been, and she even gets some help from her talented daughter, Natasha, 11, on vocal duets, clearly planned since birth.
Rose so red this night of hunters.
This is the title track, Night of Hunters, Tori Amos. And our country music review comes to us from Jack Bernhardt, published in the News and Observer on the 25th of September, 2011. This is of Ronnie Millsap, Country Again. Since arriving in Nashville in the early 1970s, North Carolina native Ronnie Millsap has ventured into blues, rock, and pop. But Millsap and his fans have always been partial to straight-ahead honky-tonkers. Now the six-time Grammy Award winner returns with Country Again, a 12-track tour de force of the kinds of music Millsap grew up with in the tiny mountain community of Robbinsville. And with such edgy heartbreakers, Millsap fans may feel as if they are living once more in the golden age. Millsap is in good voice here, with the range and tone that's earned him 4 trophies as country music's top male vocalist. A versatile performer with eclectic taste, Millsap has earned fans across the musical landscape. But with Country Again, his first country album in 6 years, Millsap defies Thomas Wolfe's famous quip and returns home to the music that initiated his acclaimed career nearly 40 years ago. This is Ronnie Millsap with If You Want Me To from his new album, Country Again. So how'd you do on those trivia questions? Question number 1, what singer is known as the Empress of the Blues? The answer was Bessie Smith. And what game did Mozart like to play while he composed symphony? That was, in fact, billiards. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until next time.
She's a patriotic program princess. Lose control and